Words appear, Magnolia Pictures. A white light engraves the initials WB onto a black background. Wild Bunch. Zigzag Filmworks. At night, an unseen man tips tuna into a bowl for a tiny white and black kitten. The long-haired homeless man in his late 20s picks tuna from the can with his fingers and chats with the kitten.
It's good, huh? Yeah.
Trains rumble overhead. The kitten runs off, but the young man grabs the mewling creature. The man picks up the kitten and crawls under a makeshift shelter next to a dumpster.
Go to sleep, little kitty. Go to sleep, little kitty. Don't open your eyes till the sun's in the sky.
In a bar, the owner in his 60s chats to a patron slumped over the bar.
We're closing though, Roger.
Can I have one for the road, though?
I don't think so.
Just one more. It's for the road.
No.
For the road. Just one for the road.
There's the fucking road. Now go.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Roger staggers out of the dive bar. Alone, the barman leans on the countertop and smokes a cigarette with a troubled expression. Cigarette smoke rises up as the barman stares fixedly across the room. Under the railway tracks, the lanky homeless man crawls out of his shelter and stretches by arching his back. Under the railway arches, the young man sits on the floor. With a despondent expression, the man stares fixedly ahead. The man's gaze lifts as a train passes overhead. At home, the barman places a tape into a cassette player. To the left of the player is an overflowing ashtray.
Welcome to the world of relaxation. By following my exercises, you will enhance your ability to relax. Now, I want you to touch your index finger with your thumb. This gesture is to symbolize the link between the body and the mind. Now, close your eyes. I want you to take a deep breath.
He follows the instructions.
And now, slowly exhale. You are entirely at peace with your environment. You feel calm.
A German shepherd dog lounges nearby.
You feel tranquil. I want you to visualize the scene I describe. I want you to mentally recreate every detail.
The craggy-faced man fidgets.
You are lying on an endless white beach. The sun is rising. Feel the palm trees swaying.
Ejecting the cassette, he unspools the magnetic ribbon before clutching his left arm. He collapses to the floor. Titles appear, The Good Heart. The ashen-faced homeless man wakes with a start in a hospital bed. His breath hitches. Overhead, fluorescent lights blur the screen. Through the brilliance, a nurse in green scrubs approaches the bed.
There you go. Just drink your milk in one go. That should take away the hiccups.
Am I dead?
No, you're lucky. Okay.
The bespectacled nurse bumps into the barman being wheeled on a gurney along a corridor.
Oh, Jacques, not again. Why can't you just die?
Good to see you too, Olivia.
The dog trails Jacques as he's wheeled through the ward. A dark-skinned nurse sings to herself as she unwraps a bandage around the homeless man's wrist. Using cotton gauze and tweezers, the nurse cleans a deep wound running lengthwise up his forearm. Later, the dog pads into a ward with shoe covers over its paws, and an Asian nurse parks Jacques' gurney beside the homeless man.
Where are you taking me? This is not my ward.
I have told you 100 times. This is a hospital, not a zoo. We have to maintain strict hygienic standards.
I can't understand a fucking word you're saying. I insist you get me an interpreter. Call the fucking Oriental Embassy and make them send over an interpreter immediately.
You have to get rid of the dog. It's not allowed to stay here at the hospital.
He's got a name, you know. His name's Rococo.
I don't care what's his name. He's got to leave.
Go back to the third world, you chinky coriander bitch.
I hope you drop dead.
Jacques rips back the connecting privacy screen.
Do me a favor. Unplug the smoke detector.
What?
Unplug the smoke detector.
He pulls out a cigarette.
Now, there are 2 boxes on the left on the wall.
The homeless man wanders over to the nurse's station towards some electricity boxes with a perplexed expression.
The little one, above. 2 doors, open them. Now, unplug the green wire. Yes? That's it.
The homeless man scurries back into bed, and Jacques hides the cigarettes under his bed sheets. A scowling nurse enters and Jacques shrugs. Later, the 2 men play dice in a rec room.
So, what the fuck happened to you?
Suicide? Attempt not successful?
Jesus. Every single day I'm fighting a bloody battle for my life. At the same time, some moron in the prime of his youth is ready to throw his life straight down the drain.
What happened to you?
Heart attack. Number 5.
A therapist's office.
So, Lucas, I hope the hospital's been treating you well.
Lucas, the homeless man, nods.
I've been looking forward to seeing you today. Although I must admit we may have to talk about some things that you may find unpleasant. I know it's not easy, but I have to ask it. Why did you try suicide?
Well, you know, when it comes to survival of the fittest, I just have to throw in the towel, I guess.
But you're not an animal, Lucas. You're a human being. You live in a highly developed society that has all kinds of buffers and security nets that are designed to break your fall.
No, I don't follow the rules of civilization anymore. I'm outside. I am an animal.
The therapist pinches his eyebrows.
Try to think of life as a coconut. It's hard on the outside, and if you don't have the proper tools or the know-how, it can seem totally useless and futile. But if you know how to open it, there's sweet juice inside. But the key is not to keep the coconut to yourself. Once you learn how to open the coconut, you share the coconut with someone who has no coconut, and then you understand what happiness is.
share the coconut?
Yes.
Lucas's furrowed brow lifts and a faint smile flickers across his face. The view focuses on the New York skyline on a bright sunny day. A frisbee flies through the air as Jacques launches the disc at Lucas. Lucas throws it back with his uninjured arm. Rococo sniffs about the small grassy area. Jacques sighs as Lucas misses and runs after the frisbee. Half-heartedly, Jacques goes to catch the frisbee but misses it. Picking it up, Jacques throws the disc back and Lucas catches it and runs about excitedly. Sometime later, wearing clean clothes, Lucas chats with Olivia, the bespectacled nurse.
I am very thankful, and I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You have saved my life and given me food to eat and clothes to wear. And I wish I could pay you back in some way, but I have nothing to give.
That's all right.
Except for my sperm. I would like to donate my sperm.
No. No.
I know it's not much, but it's the least I can do.
It's awfully kind of you, but, you know, we're not doing you a personal favor that you have to repay. This is a hospital. We're just doing our job. What's most important is that you survived.
Please, there must be something that I can do.
Well, if you insist on doing something for us, I could sign you up as an organ donor. There's always big need for organs.
My whole body. I am ready to donate my body and my soul to science. What would you like to start with? A kidney? You just take whatever you need. It's the least I can do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Lucas hugs a team of medics and whispers to Olivia.
Thank you for everything.
You're welcome. And here's a little farewell gift from the staff to help make your new start a good one.
She hands him a wad of cash, and Lucas hugs her again. Lucas hesitantly exits the hospital building and gazes across the New York skyscrapers in the distance. Pausing for a moment, Lucas steps into the sunshine and heads out into the city. Returning to his shelter made from tarps and cardboard boxes under the railway bridge, Lucas climbs inside and strokes the kitten. Picking up the kitten, Lucas places it on his chest and nuzzles it. In the hospital, Jacques pushes a call bell in an empty hospital room. A nurse walks in.
What is it?
Where's Lucas?
You're only supposed to use this bell in case of emergency.
Where's Lucas?
Well, I suppose Lucas is free to go where he wants without your permission.
Son of a motherfucking lesbian bitch.
A man wearing a bucket hat greets Lucas at a mobile soup kitchen.
Luke? What up, man?
Hey.
I see you in a month of Sunday. Boy, you look good as a government check. How you been?
I've actually been a little ill recently.
Well, you've been on the weather, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you're back on Falls now, ain't you, Cat?
Yeah, doing much better. Thank you,
I know you're a stepper.
How you doing?
Well, you know, tough titty for a kitty, but the milk is good hard, but it's fair out here, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're trying to, you know, a little grind, trying to keep a few dollars over lunch money.
I know, me too.
You
know, it means
ain't
too.
Easy, you know. Just ain't easy, babe.
Oh,
know?
Hey, I actually fell into a few extra dollars recently. And
hey,
maybe,
ain't that a blessing?
Maybe I could lend you a few.
Hey, you know, whatever you can stand, kid, you know,
yeah,
and I appreciate
go,
this,
Paul.
Man.
Yeah.
So everything's all right, huh?
Yes. Yeah,
excuse me, I was wondering, by any chance, can you, like, get download to?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course I can. Here.
Most appreciative. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, may I have some, please? I'm
yes.
His friend.
No, I
he's
know.
My
of course,
friend.
Of course.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay.
How about?
That's for you. And that's for you. Enough for everybody.
Later, Lucas returns to his shelter to find the kitten strangled, hanging from its collar on a wire fence with blood smeared over its white fur. In the hospital, glancing over his shoulder, Jacques scours the shelves of a record room. He pulls out a patient file, pulls out the paper documents and stuffs the envelope back on the shelf. There's a photo of Lucas attached to the file. A nurse disturbs him.
What is going on in here? These files are strictly confidential. Now get out!
The nurse rips the file from Jacques' hand and he leaves. At night, a beat-up saloon car drives through the city and parks up beside some wasteland. Jacques gets out and walks Rococo on a lead. Jacques peers into a fenced-off wasteland. Moments later, Rococo sniffs out and dives into Lucas's shelter.
Lucas! Lucas, you little punk! You're coming with me.
What?
You're coming with me.
I appreciate it, Jacques, but I would just like to be left alone.
Come with me, Lucas. I need your help. From the looks of things, you could do with some help yourself.
Jacques gestures toward the shelter and Lucas stares up at him from all fours. Later, Lucas sits in the back of Jacques' car, while Rococo sits in the front passenger seat. Jacques turns into a side street and spots two cars parked parallel, narrowing the road.
Oh, shit. Okay. Bombs away.
He drives directly in between the cars and gets stuck. Lucas looks alarmed as Jacques revs and muscles the car through the gap, scraping the bodywork and ripping the bumper off the front of the parked car. Jacques parks up on a back street outside a shopfront and Lucas reads the sign.
House of Oysters.
Jacques bursts into the bar, lifts the wooden bar top and turns on the lights. Rococo pads inside and sits on a carpet in the corner.
Why is it called House of Oysters?
Well, when I bought the place, back in the days, it was an old oyster bar run by the late Mr. Saviola. But after a customer consumed a lethal oyster, Mr. Saviola was forced to close down the business. But I kept the name because it's the name of the bar. And a bar should not change its name, no matter what goes wrong in the world. Come hell or high water, when the smog dissolves, you gotta trust that your bar is still gonna be there.
Lucas waits awkwardly in the doorway while Jacques makes a call on a rotary phone.
We're ready. Send it over.
An Asian man in his 40s exits a white van carrying a tray of takeaway containers and enters the bar. The Asian man offers his hand out to Lucas.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Chin Lee is my excellent cook.
Money to sail.
Thank you, Chin Lee. My heart's no good. I could pass away any day now. I don't have a family. No friends. I'm not even interested in anything like that. What I am interested in is that this bar goes on after I'm gone. And that's where you come into the picture, Lucas. When I'm gone, I want you... What are you doing?
Don't like it.
Don't be ridiculous.
You're used to eating out of garbage cans, but when presented with the heights of gastronomy, you refuse it?
Sorry.
You have many things to learn, my friend. And I'm not going to give up until I've taught you everything. From now on, you're my student.
Lucas watches as Jacques enters the grimy kitchen and pulls down an attic ladder.
This is where I live.
Jacques climbs up the ladder. Lucas follows Jacques along a dark apartment hallway.
And this is where you're gonna live.
Oh, thank you.
How do you like it?
Diffused light from the street lamps fills the room, illuminating a sink in the corner and the room's dirty walls. Lucas scans around the damp room and sits down on a rickety bed. Jacques returns and throws him a new set of pajamas.
Here's some pajamas. Tomorrow's gonna be a busy day.
Lucas gazes at the plastic-wrapped pajamas. Lying on the small single bed, Lucas stares up at the ceiling while wearing the pajamas. Rolling off the thin mattress, Lucas curls up on the floor alongside the bed. The following day, some patrons bang on the bar's entrance.
What's wrong with you morons?
Why is the bar closed, Jacques?
I'm training a new employee.
How long is that going to take?
I don't know. Stop whining and go back to your mother's.
God, I want
to
get a drink. Come on, Jacques.
Jacques. Yeah, long see no time.
At a tailor's shop.
How you doing? How's the old heart?
Terrible as usual, Dimitri. I haven't fucked since last century.
Oh, no.
The closest I've come to sexual activity is brushing my teeth.
This is terrible, Jacques, but you still managed to get a boner?
Hardly.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jacques. Is there anything I can do for you, my friend?
Where is your beautiful wife?
Sarah!
Yes?
Jacques wants to say hello to you.
Okay, coming.
A chic woman enters the shop floor.
Oh, Sarah! Sarah, Sarah, Sarah! Oh, my God, you smell so good.
Thank you, Jacques.
Oh, God, you smell good.
Okay,
too long, Sarah.
Jacques. Okay, it's
enough.
How long is it?
Jacques! What?
Take it easy.
Good to see you, Jacques.
Oh, wonderful to see you, Sarah.
Come back soon.
Very, very soon.
A dopey expression crosses Jacques' face.
Where were we?
I don't know, Jacques. Why'd you come? What can I do for you?
Oh, yeah. You see this young gentleman? I pulled him out of the gutter. We need to get him penguinized.
Jeez, we got work to do.
Well, bring it on, you fucking communist. We haven't got all day.
Take it easy, Jacques.
What?
I mean, you burst into my store, you harassed my wife, and now you start criticizing my past as well?
I'm not criticizing you, Dimitri. It was a joke. Jeez, I didn't know you were so sensitive about your communistic past. Can I call you a capitalistic swine? Would that work for you, Dimitri? Jeez. What's the matter with you? You got hemorrhoids or something?
These are the most beautiful clothes I've ever seen in my life, Chuck, but they are so stiff.
Jesus. No arty-farty fashion bullshit. Just a decent haircut. Craftsmanship, honesty. That's all I'm asking. Like the old days. Do you hear me?
You are in the right place, Jacques.
I don't trust you.
Jacques switches off the radio and sits in an armchair with a curmudgeonly expression. An elderly white-haired barber shows Lucas a magazine.
Oh, here we have some examples of what is going on right now, in case you need some inspiration.
Hey, 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 hey. I said, no fashion crap.
Has it occurred to you that this young gentleman might have an opinion of his own?
No. It is I who pay for the operation, and it is I who conduct it. So please stop getting on my nerves and just do your job.
My job? Dear.
Faggot.
Jacques sits while the barber shoots him a disgruntled look. Distracted, the barber begins to cut Lucas's disheveled hair.
Oh, dear. Have I nicked you?
Oh, no. Blood.
I'm gonna sue your flaming wrinkled homosexual ass off, you fucking moron.
The barber flicks his scissors and holds them like a knife while Jacques grabs an umbrella and takes a defensive stance. Rococo watches the men. In a bar, Jacques cuts Lucas's hair. He holds up a large mirror shard so Lucas can see his haircut.
That's more like it.
Jacques lathers a shaving brush in a cup and dabs copious amounts of shaving soap onto Lucas's face before sharpening a cutthroat razor against a leather razor strop. Lucas's eyes widen as Jacques holds the blade close to his face.
Jesus, Jacques, I feel strange about this.
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
I don't know. It's like people take an education to learn this. You know, 5 years or something.
Where you been? It's not like we're talking rocket science here. It's a knife. The oldest tool known to man.
Okay. Just be careful.
Trust me.
Lucas flinches as Jacques shaves Lucas's lip and cheek.
Oh, no.
Blood covers his fingertips.
Blood.
In the bar, a pianola plays itself, while a group of men sit and smoke.
Okay, okay, listen up, gentlemen. I'd like to introduce Lucas.
How you doing, Lucas?
Hi, Lucas.
You act like a woman, because this is like female behavior. You know, women, when they hear that men live with their mummies, it's not so sexy.
Believe me, I don't.
You're very passive. I've never seen anyone more passive than you.
Right? It's like, the times that it's worked for me is when, you know.
When was the last time you were on a date?
Oh, I can't remember. But like, if I'm going out or if I'm going to a movie, like I gotta go to a movie uptown, I'll take the train. I'll take a car. Right. So I don't wanna.
A guy enters the bar.
Oh my God, we gotta walk in. We gotta walk in. What do you want?
I'll have a Bloody Mary, please. And do you have organic tomato juice?
Marcus, the bespectacled regular Snickers. Wearing a crisp shirt and waistcoat, Lucas watches as Jacques pours vodka into a glass and squirts ketchup into the glass.
Sorry, we're out of celery.
The walk-in storms out, and the regulars continue to chat.
But then if you are going uptown, you are taking what?
Lucas, we don't do walk-ins.
When you go to the east side?
That's the sex.
Mind about being by yourself.
Very, very easy.
It is.
Lucas goes to take a glass from Roddy, a handsome man in his 40s, but the customer resists.
Eager.
Eager beaver.
Lucas. Never remove an empty glass. It is the customer's history, the track record of his state of mind, and important documentation which should not be fixed nor falsified.
Jacques serves a customer.
Sorry about that. Overview, overview, overview. You have to know what's going on with every single customer. Who's drinking what? Who needs a refill? Who wants to be left alone? Each regular has their own routine, which you have to learn by heart. A decent bartender knows what the customer wants before he knows it himself.
A customer makes their own pink cocktail. During closing, Jacques opens the till.
At the end of the day, you take the day's earnings and you put it right in here.
Into the freezer?
Into the freezer. I've been burglarized to the point of exhaustion. And I ain't lost a single dime.
Not since I started freezing my money.
He points to a pinboard covered with photos and travel postcards.
This is Enrique. He's my best friend. In fact, my only friend. He lives in Martinique, where he grows and handpicks my coffee beans. Wonderful person. And this is his mother, Josephine. If I wasn't in such bad shape, I'd go straight to Martinique and marry her.
Who's the little girl?
That is Enrique's beautiful 9-year-old daughter, Felicia. I want you to marry her. When she's a little bit older.
On the stove, Jacques stirs coffee beans in a wok. Jacques and Lucas watch a straight-laced customer drink coffee.
For over 15 years, he's dropped by every single day for one cup of espresso. He never says good morning, never says what he wants. Nobody even knows his name. But as soon as he arrives, he expects you to bring that espresso. He'll drink it, and 3 sips, and total silence. And he always leaves the same tip.
The customer leaves cash. Later, Ib, a long-haired, heavy-set man, turns on the pianola. Marcus calls out to his friend, sipping a pink cocktail.
Suti, this isn't your usual chimney-sweeping uniform, is it?
Marcus, Suti is not a chimney-sweeper. Suti is a chemist. And I am looking particularly delicious today because I was officiating at a wedding. Now, did you know that it is lucky for a bride to be kissed on both cheeks by a chimney?
Yeah. So what luck does the trash man bring?
I am a sanitation engineer who one day will be the first garbage man to go out into space. I mean, we got to get rid of some of this trash that's around here. You know that, don't you?
That's right. You're going to be a trash tonight.
Exactly.
So what, you stuff yourself inside the rubbish bin and shoot up into the stratosphere?
It'll happen.
Yeah, I read about it. It's going to happen any day now.
Yeah. There's a lot of rubbish in the flower business, isn't there?
I know.
Roddy.
Yeah. I hate flowers. I don't want to talk about flowers.
Why? Mommy is upsetting you? Say hi to Mommy for me, will you?
Roddy, the handsome man, lights a cigarette.
Forget, what are you up to now? There's like a technical term for it. It's, whore.
I am not a fucking whore. I'm a stimulator.
While hugging Rococo, Lucas sleeps on the bedroom floor.
Time to wake up.
Jacques, please.
Today's a big day. Today's the day I'm going to teach you how to make coffee.
Make coffee?
Yeah.
I don't mean to brag about my person, but I think that making coffee is one of the very few skills that I already master.
Your responsibility and duty is to transfer the full range of flavor and aroma of Enrique's beans to the cup. Anything less would be a disgrace to the customers, my bar, and Enrique. In order to succeed, you must master a few technical skills. The first instrument is the grinder. Now, coffee can be ground in many ways, but you have to choose the right way, neither too fine nor too grainy. When the water is a little over 90 degrees and almost boiling, it is forced through the coffee at a pressure of 9 atmospheres, and this should take exactly 24 seconds. If it takes more than 24 seconds, the coffee is too fine. If it takes less than 24 seconds, the coffee is too grainy. You can practice using a stopwatch, but in time, you will come to learn by heart the duration of the magic 24 seconds.
Setting the stopwatch, Lucas pulls a lever on the coffee machine and watches as the coffee drips into an espresso cup. With a perplexed expression, Jacques sits at the bar with a sea of coffee cups in front of him. Stopping the clock, Lucas serves a fresh cup and Jacques smells it before he sets it down.
Why don't you even taste them?
It would be an offense to my taste buds. You just don't expose them to something like that.
Well, I can't see what's wrong with it. It's black. It's hot.
It's disgusting.
Jacques drives his beat-up car along a gravel road on a bright sunny day. He parks up beside a field of cows.
This is Butragueno, the famous bull. Buenos dias, Butragueno, you crazy Catholic fuck. Lucky bastard. Fucking those beautiful cows all day long.
They watch as the bull mounts a cow and Jacques begins to moan. A farmer chases a flock of ducks before capturing one. The farmer walks toward a perplexed Lucas, and Jacques gives the farmer two thumbs up. The farmer hands the duck to Jacques, who quickly passes the wriggling bird to Lucas. Jacques pays the farmer and the two men shake hands. Later, Lucas and the duck sit in the car's back seat.
Why the fuck did you buy a duck?
It's our Christmas dinner, Lucas. We're gonna feed it with oranges and ginger and fresh estragon and cognac. We're gonna marinate it from the inside out.
We can't kill a fellow duck.
Yes, we can, Lucas. My mouth's watering just thinking about it.
Rococo looks out of the window onto the sidewalk below and barks repeatedly. Shrugging on a dressing gown, Jacques peers onto the street and spots a group of homeless people outside.
What the fuck's going on here?
Okay. You let me know how this one is.
Lucas serves coffee to some homeless people.
Here you are.
Thank you.
A man plays the pianola. With a furrowed brow, Jacques enters the bar.
What's going on here?
I thought it would be a shame to let all those espressos go to waste while I master the technique, so I thought we could take it as an opportunity to help people.
Help people?
Yes, help people.
Are you out of your fucking mind? We're running a business here, not a goddamn shelter! Now get these losers out of my sight!
Finish. Jacques, aren't you sometimes afraid that you'll go straight to hell? Christopher, you can finish your coffee, it's fine.
Go!
It's not your fault, thank you.
Later, Lucas feeds the duck in its cage.
What are we gonna call you? Estragon? Okay, Estragon.
During opening time, Jacques washes glasses while five suited men enter the bar.
Bar's closed. Get the fuck out.
Do you understand that you're the owner of this building?
Correct.
We're buying buildings in this area, and we're interested in looking in. They're buying this one, too.
Wow. For $1 billion, I'll give you a scenic tour of my anal canal. How do you like them apples?
Wouldn't hurt to sit down for a while.
God damn, you're like a piece of shit that just won't flush. Now get the fuck out of here before I get rude.
The men leave and Lucas continues washing the dishes. Sometime later, Roger chats to Judge, the sanitary engineer.
A walk in the mist of time and space.
What is that?
It's the title of my book.
I like it. I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, but I'm stuck, though. I'm blocked.
Come on. You got it in your blood. You're Jules Verne's great-great-grandson.
Yeah, but think of the pressure.
Forget about it. You could do it. You got it in your blood. Just write it.
Okay.
Roger rubs his eyes and makes notes on some index cards. Long-haired Ip sits beside Rococo at the bar and their gazes cross before they awkwardly turn away from each other. Ip takes his drink and goes to sit beside the duck. Continuing to make notes, Roger places a hand over his eyes and exhales. During the day, Roddy chats with Marcus the bespectacled man. Roger continues to work on his novel.
She gave me your number, but as she was writing it out, she said, "Don't call me for a couple of days." And I said, "How come?" She said, "Well, I'm gonna die."
Ah, I can't take this anymore. We are all animals. Estragon, you must be liberated.
Hey, take it easy.
Come on, darling. Go out, out. Come on, out, sweetheart. Out.
Lucas watches as Marcus sets the duck free.
Estragon, my friend, you must be liberated. Was machst du? Was machst du? I'm offering you freedom and you go back into incarceration.
While fiddling with the coffee machine, Jacques frowns as he studies Lucas chatting with the mysterious coffee businessman. The businessman shakes Lucas's hand before leaving. In the evening, Lucas pours Judge a shot.
This one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, look, Lucas, I didn't bring too much cash. You want me to pay? Can I bring it in to you tomorrow? Well, my mom had all that. I have a tip. Okay?
Yeah, sure. You're welcome.
To Roddy.
How's your mother doing?
Yeah, she's dying. She might be able to come home from the hospital a couple days a week, but I don't know if she's going to make it.
Here's to Muti.
Muti.
Here's to Muti.
Jacques leads Lucas by the elbow off to the side.
My boy, you're making one very serious mistake.
What?
You're being friendly.
What's wrong with that?
Remember what I say. Never be friendly with a customer. Be familiar, but not friendly. That's the golden rule. Familiar, but not friendly.
What's wrong with friendly?
Sometimes, when you least expect it, friendship will stab you in the back like a dagger. The customer will start trusting you, you'll start trusting them, one thing will lead to another, and you don't want that to happen.
Can I get one for the road?
No, sorry, Roger, we're closed.
Wait, just one for the road, come on.
I think you've had seven for the road.
Oh. This one is for the road.
We're closed.
Damn it. What is happening to humanity these days?
In the empty bar, Jacques and Lucas eat dinner.
You're doing all right, Lucas. But you still got a lot to learn. We got to work on your attitude. I mean, you're not a natural when it comes to hostility and arrogance. But, yeah, given time, it'll come.
Rococo moves away from farting Jacques.
It's amazing how broccoli always makes you fart. In a way, broccoli is the embodiment of fart. If you could capture a piece of fart, materialize it, I imagine it would look pretty much like this. The incarnation of fart. Lucas, my boy. You're all right.
A childlike grin spreads across Lucas's face. Late at night, a car passes a young blonde woman walking alone wearing a cabin crew uniform with no coat. Wrapping her arms tightly around her body, she trudges through the pouring rain. Sitting at one of the tables, Lucas quietly sips a cup of coffee as the bedraggled young woman walks into the bar.
Hi. The bar is closed. Oh. Okay, don't cry. Don't cry. Everything is going to be just fine.
Lucas envelops her in an awkward hug, and she sobs on his shoulder.
Here, have a seat.
Let me get you something to drink. What would you like?
Champagne.
Champagne?
Yes, please.
Lucas jumps back as the cork pops and champagne spills out.
Here. Thank you.
Lucas studies the weeping woman quizzically.
Are you a stewardess?
No.
I just saw it because of... outfit.
I got fired.
Why?
Because I was afraid.
Afraid of what?
I was afraid of flying.
His eyes dart right in a thoughtful expression.
Well, it's not in our nature to fly, so I don't blame you.
You are very kind. Can I stay with you tonight?
You mean like...
I have no place to sleep and I'm very tired.
I'm afraid that's maybe not the best idea. Oh, no, no. Please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't cry.
The young woman weeps into her hands and Lucas shifts uncomfortably. He leads her to the kitchen.
We have to be very quiet and very, very careful.
Where are we going?
I live here.
Wow.
My boss lives here too, and he's not the kind of person you'd like to wake up in the middle of the night.
I understand.
They freeze.
I'm sorry.
Jacques asleep in the living room.
You will be at peace with yourself and the people around you. I am going to wake you up with the count of five. One. You feel yourself awakening now, filled with energy and self-assurance. Two. You are feeling good and glad to be alive. Three. You are awakening now, feeling...
With a blanket covering her, the woman sleeps on Lucas's bed, while Lucas sleeps on the floor. He pulls a piece of newspaper over himself. The next morning, Jacques bursts in carrying a breakfast tray.
Good morning, Jacques. This is April. She had no place to stay and no money, so...
I want that whore out of my house immediately, and I never want to see it again.
Did you hear what he just called me?
Yes.
Jacques slams the empty champagne bottle on the bar.
Champagne is not for wedding pussies, you know. It's for celebrating major victories in sports. Listen to me. There are two worlds. The world of man and the world of the bitch. A bar is no place for a woman. They have the cafeterias and the patisseries. A bar is our space. It's a sanctuary where man can come and be free, knowing that he's perfectly protected from any interference of the feminine.
But she's got no money and no place to stay.
Well, that's not your problem, and it certainly isn't mine.
We can't just throw her out on the street like garbage.
Yes, we can.
Don't you have any sympathy for people?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Lucas, don't give me that crap.
I'm just trying to be helpful. We got everything. She's got nothing. We can help her. It's that simple.
You got 24 hours to get rid of the bitch.
Jacques' car pulls off and a plume of exhaust fumes fills the air. In the hospital, Jacques strolls with his consultant.
So how are you feeling these days?
Doubt, fear, pain, anxiety, distraction, nervousness, horror, fright, panic, dread, terror, trepidation. I feel like a goddamn thesaurus.
Come on, Estragon, eat those herbs. They're good for you.
Looks good.
Lucas feeds the duck while Jacques gruffly wipes down the bar. Entering the bar, April strides towards the women's toilet, but the doors jam from the inside.
Where is the lady room?
No lady room.
Estragon? Where's Estragon?
Estragon!
The duck waddles down the street and Lucas sprints after it, glancing briefly to his left, checking for traffic. The duck flaps its wings and darts about, but Lucas grabs the bird.
Come on.
Shh.
I love flowers.
Jacques and Lucas observe Roddy and Marcus fawning over April.
Me, I like that flame. It appears our boy Roddy is having a hard time getting his flame up.
Women can seem cute and charming on the surface, but underneath they're the same universal bitch.
Yeah, fuck you. You little sissy boy, huh?
Oh, fuck you!
You coming, you!
April calmly smokes and drinks champagne while the men tussle.
Come on, flower boy!
Damn it, you fucking whore!
I'm at the whore! I'm a simulator!
The following morning, April sits at the bar reading a newspaper. Lucas serves her some toast and coffee on a tray. Fully dressed, Jacques emerges from the attic.
Lucas, come over here for a second. I got a therapy class at 9:30, and when I get back, she's history, okay?
April.
Yes?
I was thinking, it's been nice having you and everything.
Oh, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Disarmed, Lucas smiles sweetly and wanders to the kitchen. April beams and returns to her paper. April catches Lucas watching her, and he glances away.
Is that all you wanted to say?
Yes. I guess so.
Because you look like you want to tell me something. Something very important.
You have to leave. Here. Take this money. It's a bit frozen at the moment, but when it melts, it should be enough to get you back. I'm sorry.
She hits him with the frozen cash and blood trickles from his nose. At a physical therapy class.
Take a nice deep breath and go to the center and let it out.
Oh, they go back. Oh.
Ha, ha,
ha,
ho, ho, ho.
The male participants smile and laugh, while Jacques half-heartedly joins in. Meandering around, they flap their arms like chickens.
Bad guy!
Jacques enthusiastically joins in and cackles and shakes his claw-like hands at his classmates. A broad grin crosses his face. A melancholic Lucas sits at the pianola. He looks up as a woman in high heels walks in. Smiling broadly, April drops some clothes bags at her feet.
Let's get married.
Married?
Yes.
But wouldn't we be moving a little bit fast?
Yes. Please, Luca, don't send me back. Please, please.
April rests her head on his shoulder. Jacques parks up outside the bar. He climbs the bar's metal entrance stairs with an exuberant smile. Inside, a downcast Lucas sits with an open bottle of champagne in front of him.
This is a big relief for me, Lucas. You know, the pitch episode was not such a bad thing. It made the alarm bells ring, and it allows us to be more alert from...
Pointing to the champagne bottle.
What the fuck is this? Did somebody win something? Did I miss something in the world of sports? What the fuck is going on, Lucas?
I'm getting married.
Jacques furrows his brow.
Let me get this straight. I ask you to kick out the bitch, and I leave you alone for 3/4 hours, and when I get back, you're getting married to the bitch? Would that be a fairly accurate account of the events?
I guess so.
Do I have to watch your every fucking step? This is my worst nightmare come true. Fuck! I should have been more careful. I should have prevented this. Jesus fucking Christ! Why can't you just stick to our plan?
What plan?
What's wrong with Enrique's daughter?
There's nothing wrong with her. What does she have to do with anything?
You were going to marry her?
You're... crazy. She's 9 years old. I never said that.
We made a deal, you ungrateful son of a bitch. I put all my bets on you, Lucas. Jesus, my world is falling apart.
You're crazy. I work like a sledgehammer in hell for your fucking bar. You keep me here like a prisoner. If she's not good enough for this place, then I'm out of here, too.
You can't do that.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Just take a look, Jacques.
Grabbing his coat, Lucas storms out. As the door closes, Jacques throws the champagne bottle and hangs his head. Sometime later, Lucas and April queue up at a homeless soup kitchen. They sit on the floor by an iron railing and dunk bread into their styrofoam cups of soup. Under the railway arches, Lucas lights a small fire and they sit close to the insufficient flames. April's wearing Lucas's jacket. Inside Lucas's makeshift shelter, April lies beside Lucas and studies him as he gazes up at the ceiling with his hands clasped over his stomach. They're not touching each other. The view focuses on the skyline at night and then shrinks and fixes on Jacques standing on the bar's metal stairs. A plume of smoke trails from a cigarette in his mouth. Sometime later, Jacques serves Sooty, Roger, Marcus, Judge, Roddy, and Ib at the bar.
I'll get a fresh. You okay? Yeah.
Jacques steps into the kitchen and the regulars quickly don paper animal masks and it stands ready by the pianola. Jacques returns, and Marcus pulls out a cake.
Happy birthday!
What the fuck is this?
It's your birthday!
I don't do birthdays.
We baked the cake for you.
I don't give a fuck what you baked. I don't do birthdays. You can take that and get it out of here, all right?
Happy birthday, here. Listen, you fucking bunch of etymological freaks. I don't want a fucking birthday cake, and I don't want a fucking birthday. So take this fucking thing and get out of here. Jesus fucking Christ! Can you hear me? Get the fuck out!
Wielding a baseball bat.
No! Do you hear me? Get the fuck out! Don't I have you fucking understand fucking English? Go! Fuck out! I told you, schmucks! I don't do birthdays, okay? Now, you're banned! All of you! For a week!
Fucking cake! For a fucking cake, he bans us!
Leaning heavily against the bar, Jacques takes a long sip from a whiskey glass. The pianola's drum turns, and Jacques staggers about dancing to the music. Jacques sweeps a row of spirit bottles to the floor. Grabbing a wine bottle, he smashes empty glasses and beer bottles with it. Clutching his chest, Jacques sinks to his knees. At the hospital, Lucas sits beside Jacques, who's wearing an oxygen cannula.
Okay. I'm willing to compromise. Although I hate compromise more than anything else in the world, but what else can I do? You stab me in the back, Lucas. You're kicking me when I'm lying down and in no position to defend myself.
I was beginning to like you, Lucas. I made the fatal mistake of trusting you. What do I get? Bav. As soon as I show a tiny spot of vulnerability, you attack me. You're a traitor, Lucas. A fucking traitor. And now I'm lying here closer to death than ever before. And from that hopeless position, I have to negotiate. Okay. The bitch can stay.
Lucas smirks.
I'm not happy with her, but you leave me no choice. I have to keep the business going. And if this is the price, then there's nothing I can do. If you really have it in you to take advantage of my hopeless condition, then go ahead.
A queue of couples lines up outside a door marked Wedding Chapel. As April and Lucas move closer to the door, they share a sweet smile. Moments later, Lucas and April stand in front of a suited, heavy-set man standing behind a lectern.
By the power vested in me by the state of New York, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
The official punches a card and offers the document to Lucas. A camera flash goes off as another happy couple poses for pictures outside the city hall. Studying the paperwork, Lucas and April smile wryly. On a rooftop, Lucas helps April climb down a set of stairs. April and Lucas sit on a roof ledge and watch the late afternoon skyline. While wearing Lucas's jacket, April leans her head on Lucas's chest and he drapes an arm around her shoulder. At the bar, Lucas helps April attach a mop head to the handle. The duck quacks as April passes near the cage while mopping the floor, and Lucas busies himself by cleaning glasses from the bar. Towards the back of the bar, April leans on a bookcase, and it topples backwards into a hidden room. Lucas rushes over with a perplexed expression, and the couple step through a set of dusty red velvet curtains into a disused dining room. They pick their way through the assortment of miscellaneous furniture, light fittings, and storage boxes. A wide smile crosses April's face. In the hospital, Jacques has an appointment with his consultant.
It shouldn't come as a surprise that your heart is pretty close to useless by now.
So what I'm interested in doing is putting you on a waiting list for a heart transplant.
Whoa, whoa.
Waiting list? Sounds bad. I hate waiting.
Well,
first of all, you have to be patient. There's a reason we call you a patient, you know, and that's because you have to be patient.
Very funny.
You know, a positive attitude would really help a lot with getting you through all this waiting. And it's going to improve your chances of surviving the transplant. But most importantly, you have to live a healthy life. Okay, you can never drink or smoke again.
So what are you going to do, Doc? Send me back to kindergarten? You got to realize I'm a dirty old bastard with filthy habits.
A new heart is a precious gift. And we only give them to those who are going to treat their gift with respect and care.
I don't like the patronizing tone of your voice. What are we talking
about? To be frank, I don't like your attitude at all. Someone is going to die so you can live. Do you get that?
A chastened expression crosses Jacques' face.
Yeah. I get it.
Now, do you want me to put you on the list or not?
Yes, please.
And you understand what it implies?
Yes, Doc.
With a pensive expression, Jacques stares at the floor. Jacques' unwieldy beat-up station wagon parks up outside the bar. Jacques climbs out and lights up a cigarette as Lucas gets out of the car.
Jacques, you okay?
Lucas joins Jacques and leans against the bonnet of the car. Jacques fishes out a mobile phone from his coat pocket.
Here. Take a look. Doctor gave me this phone. He's the only person on earth who has this number. When it rings, it can only mean one thing. That a new heart has arrived. So when the call comes, I have to be at the hospital within 20 minutes. That means I must be ready at all times. The suitcase packed, ready to go. Just like that.
April carries a tray of flower centerpieces into the organized dining hall and places them on the neatly arranged tables. Moving to the bar, she lights some candles beside a larger statement bouquet of flowers. Jacques bursts in.
Hey!
Jacques' smile drops and he grabs the flowers and tosses them outside. Jacques tries to blow out the flame, but April moves it.
What are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing?
Jacques' gaze drifts to the back of the bar. Alarmed, he rushes towards the wood-paneled dining hall.
Jacques, let me explain.
He grabs the table flowers.
Jacques, I'm sorry. Jacques, I forgot to tell you. We just thought it would be good for business to incorporate the dining hall. We can easily manage it now that we are three.
You have not understood a thing. This is not a cafe. This is not a restaurant. This is not a bistro, nor is this a brasserie. This is a bar. And by definition, the capacity of a bar cannot exceed 13 people. Think Jesus and his apostles.
I'm sorry.
Lucas, you must control that bitch. Just keep her out of my face.
Later, Judge sits at the bar, and Lucas counts some cash. A sullen April leans against the register and looks at her nails with disinterest. Lucas moves towards her and she flounces away, shooting daggers at him. In the evening, Roger downs a drink and Marcus chats with Roddy.
So, how was your date last night?
I don't know, man. I can't get anything going. I can't even... There are enough meeting women.
Come on, Roddy, you own a flower shop, for crying out loud. That's a prime position to be in.
No, see, everybody thinks that it doesn't work because the people coming into the shop, women, they're buying flowers for either their boyfriends or their husbands. So, you know, me hitting on them while they're doing that is just ridiculous. And then when I do go on a date and I bring them flowers and, you know, they know that I own a flower shop, it's just anything I bring them is just not impressive enough.
Forget the fucking flowers, all right? You gotta find a new groove.
Yeah, it's easy for you to say. You're professional.
Just talk to her, Roddy.
Roger leaves.
April.
What do you usually do after work?
She throws a drink at Roddy. Jacques studies her from the kitchen.
She sure got the bitch element down to a science. You should be taking notes here, Lucas. You need to be more of a bitch yourself. You're too nice. You see, we're not here to save people. We're here to destroy them.
Marcus to April.
Schnecke, I believe you have something that belongs to me.
What is it?
My breath. You took it away. I can't breathe when I see you. My heart starts to race. Can you feel it go pit?
Lucas steps in.
I was just talking
Get
to her!
Out.
Get the hell out of here and don't come back!
Lucas yells at April and points to the door. She strides out and Ib watches with interest from the end of the bar. A contrite Lucas glances around the room. Sometime later, Jacques enters and greets Roger gruffly as Lucas busies himself behind the bar. Scanning the room, Jacques peers into the empty kitchen.
Where's April?
She left. Bar is no place for a woman. You were right on that one.
April was more of a man than most of the sissies that hang around here.
So you liked her?
I didn't completely dislike her.
Jacques walks off and Lucas looks on bewildered. Later, Judge downs a shot, grimaces and gestures for another.
Lucas! You know them. Where's April?
She's gone.
It's a damn shame. Used to be sparks around, huh?
Got that right.
Lucas pours another shot and sets it alight.
What are you doing?
Hey, whoa.
There's some sparks for you.
While smoking a cigarette, Jacques watches with concern as Lucas drinks a shot.
Here's to you, morons.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know.
Jacques arches his eyebrows as Lucas storms upstairs. The next day, Lucas lies curled up in bed facing the wall, and Jacques bursts in.
Leave me alone, Jacques.
Let's go for a spin. Leave the city for a while.
I don't want to.
You look miserable. You need to cheer up.
The station wagon swings into a metal junkyard.
A junkyard? How uplifting. I'm wasting my time, Jacques.
They watch as a forklift picks up the car, and Jacques sniggers as it's placed into a crusher.
I always dreamed of doing this. Life's too short for lousy cars.
In a parking lot near the sea, Jacques instructs Lucas as he lurches about in a racing green Mustang convertible. Lucas brings the car to a jerky stop before reversing the car wildly, causing the car's back wheels to bounce. At night, Lucas serves in the busy bar. A pallid-looking Jacques snoozes in an armchair by the entrance to the kitchen. Jacques frowns as he looks around for the sound and then fishes out the mobile from his top pocket. Lucas stills as Jacques gets to his feet. Aghast, he holds up the flashing phone. Sitting in the back seat with a suitcase resting on his lap, Jacques stares out of the window with a pensive expression. Lucas drives through the city as bright shop lights illuminate the street. In the hospital, a nurse places a heart rate monitor on Jacques' finger, and Lucas perches on a neighboring bed. He walks over to a TV and turns off the fuzzy picture as the consultant enters the room. Jacques' eyes widen as the consultant pulls up a chair by his bedside.
Jacques, I'm very sorry. It was a false alarm.
No heart?
No, we got the heart, but it was no good. It happens very rarely, but it does happen. The heart was no good.
You mean you scared the shit out of me for nothing? I shit my pants because of this.
He gasps.
Heart rate 140.
Okay, check his blood pressure.
Oh!
Jacques, can you breathe? Can you breathe deeply?
Take deep breaths.
Blood pressure has fallen to 70 over 40.
Let's give him 2 milligrams metoprolol IV. Jacques, listen to me. Can you lift your head? You lift your head? Okay, that's it. We're going to have to keep you here.
Jacques bangs his saline drip in a cafeteria, and a nurse serves him his meal.
Here you go.
What is this?
Well, it's good for you.
What do you think I am, a fucking hamster?
Hey, I don't think we've been introduced. My name's Ben. I'm your new roommate. Nice to meet you.
Jacques. What blood type are you?
Oh.
O is good. No threat, no.
Well, what blood type are you?
Fucking A.
In the ward, Christmas garlands adorn the walls and window frame. Jacques watches as Ben gets up from his bed and wheels his drip behind him. Ben steps on a set of scales and adjusts the controls. Stepping off the scales, Ben collapses. Stony-faced, Jacques peers down as Ben lies face first on the ground. The barber drapes a cape around Jacques' neck. Jacques studies his reflection as he wears an oxygen cannula. Lucas waits in an armchair with Rococo sitting beside him. Later in the tailor shop, Lucas assists Jacques to his feet, and Dimitri helps him with his jacket.
Christmas, like a home Christmas, that's the time of year.
Jacques chats with Chin Lee over coffee as Lucas grabs the duck from its cage.
Throughout these exhausting months of doubt and pain, my only consolation has been visualizing that duck served on a plate.
Jacques grimaces slightly as Chin Lee unwraps a knife roll and hands Lucas a meat cleaver.
Hang on there, Lucas. Lower the blade for a sec. Just out of curiosity, what would you Buddha people eat? Say, during the festival of Wesak.
Duck, personally.
I thought Buddhism and vegetarianism went hand in hand. I mean, the first precept of Buddhism is to avoid killing or harming any living being. So how can you reconcile that with eating meat?
Actually, the Buddha himself ate meat and was therefore not a vegetarian. In fact, it is thought that he died from food poisoning after eating rotten pork. However, he advised that meat should only be eaten when it was not seen, heard, or suspected that the animal had been killed specifically for the purpose of eating.
Let's not kid ourselves to death here. I mean, the meat you eat is obviously from animals butchered for the purpose of eating. So you're breaking the first precept with every bite you chew.
As I see it, I'm not directly involved in the killing of the animal.
Oh. So you found the meat at the butcher's, You didn't see no animal being killed, and you don't suspect that the butcher killed an animal for the purpose of eating.
Kind of.
You Buddha monkeys really ought to get your story straight. This is fucking nonsense.
Can I kill it now?
I tell you what, I don't really feel like eating an animal tonight. Can't you prepare something without a face? Like an octopus or something?
Chin Lee walks out. Holding the cleaver in one hand and the duck in the other, Lucas's eyes dart to Jacques.
You're becoming a sissy, Jacques.
I know. I don't know what's happening. I've become all sensitive and sentimental lately.
Uncovering a clear stew.
Wow. That looks wonderful.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jacques. Will I see you tomorrow?
No, I'm only allowed out for Christmas. I have to be back at the hospital by midnight.
Like Cinderella.
Loud music pours out of Chin Lee's van as he climbs in and drives off. With two glasses of wine on the table, Jacques stares ahead with a furrowed brow. Lucas returns, sits opposite Jacques, and wipes his brow with the back of his hand.
You know, tonight I've been giving lots of thought to something.
What is it, Jacques?
Let's sell the bar.
Sell it? Why?
Well, as you intelligently pointed out earlier, I have become a bit of a sissy lately.
I was only joking. Jacques, don't take it personally.
No, but it's true. Since I got the false heart, something changed in me. I became a sissy.
It's just a temporary thing. You know, you're a bit weak at the moment. You'll be back on your feet in no time, insulting people like there's no tomorrow.
Well, thanks for the encouragement, but I'm not so sure. You see, Lucas, I've witnessed a change in you, too. I mean, you used to be so open-hearted and kind. Hopelessly kind when it comes to this type of work. But since April left, you become bitter and cold. Aggressive, even. And it just makes me sad.
Lucas lowers his gaze for a moment.
Don't be sad. Jacques, it's mission accomplished, you know?
But it's a failed mission, Lucas. I don't wish for you to copy my fate. I don't want you to become bitter and cold. Life's too short for that. I think we should throw in the towel, look ourselves in the eyes, and admit that we failed. Let's get rid of the fucking place. Let's split it 50-50. I want to spend the last days of my life in a better place than this shithole.
You go ahead, but I don't want any of it. You don't owe me anything. I came here to help. And I'm sorry that I let you down. You and April.
No. You own half of everything. And the remaining half goes to Enrique and Josephine.
Jacques fixes him with a melancholic expression. Later, Lucas wheels Jacques to the ward's entrance. Lucas stoops, and the men hug each other warmly before Lucas ambles off. Lucas glances over his shoulder and catches Jacques hanging his head. Lucas counts some cash at the empty bar while a slew of dirty glasses litters the countertop. With a beaming smile, April walks through the door and Lucas stops still. At the hospital, Lucas and April walk down a corridor holding a bottle of champagne. They spy a remote-controlled toy car spinning about on the ground and then move towards it. April grins as she spots Shock sitting in a wheelchair with the remote control.
You're back.
April pushes the wheelchair and Jock tenderly touches her hand. On New Year's Eve, fireworks fill the sky. In the bar, customers wear party hats and sip champagne as the pianola plays itself. The duck exits his cage and waddles freely along the countertop.
A fantastic choice. Here is to Avril the Greek.
An orderly wheels Jacques into the recreation room. He's wearing a paper hat. A patient wearing a baseball cap plays the harmonica, and some other patients clap along enthusiastically.
I think I need to go back to my room.
Grimacing, Jacques clutches his chest and a nurse quickly wheels him away. Lying in bed, a team of nurses attend to Jacques as a pained expression crosses his face.
Can you define the pain on a scale of 0 to 10?
How's his pain presenting?
10.
Respiration?
Labored.
Let's give him 0.25 nitroglycerin and 5 milligrams of morphine.
The nurse administers some drops as Jacques whimpers. Lucas and April serve some customers, and the duck sits on the counter.
Lucas.
Yep, coming.
Estragon flaps its wings and slides off the counter. Standing on tiptoe, Lucas scans the bar for Estragon. His eyes widen as he spots the open bar door. Alarmed, Lucas rushes outside, looks down the empty street, and spots Estragon just the other side of a T-junction. Lucas sprints toward the duck. A car plows into Lucas, sending him flying over the dashboard. Estragon stands unharmed in the center of the road. At the bar, April straightens and glances toward the street with an apprehensive expression. Lucas's body lies on the tarmac as a pool of blood congeals on the wet ground beside his head. The view jumps to a pallid Jacques lying asleep in the hospital bed. The screen fades to black. In an operating room, a surgical team operate on Lucas. There's a thick bandage around his head and bruises and scratches mar his cheeks. A gloved hand reaches into Lucas's open chest cavity and pulls out his heart before carefully placing it in a plastic bag. A technician squeezes out the air from the bag and twists it closed before another assistant seals the bag and places it inside a medical cooler. A team of medics rush into Jacques' room and they wheel him out and into surgery. A gloved hand picks out the heart from the plastic bag and places it in a kidney dish. The surgeon pulls out Jacques' heart and dumps it into a kidney dish before an assistant picks up Lucas's heart and hands it to the surgeon, who places it inside Jacques' chest cavity. close-up of Jacques' pockmarked ashen face, with an anesthetic tube taped to his mouth. The screen cuts to black and returns with a close-up of Lucas's pallid complexion, anesthetic tube and head bandage. The view draws back slightly but remains on Lucas's face. The image blurs before fading to black. The image brightens, revealing lapping waves on a tropical island. Wearing a straw hat, Jacques snoozes in a chair on the seafront. He stirs and smiles as he notices Josephine, a beautiful slim woman in her 50s walking along the beach carrying a young coconut. The woman hands him the coconut and Jacques kisses her on the cheek and hand. He sips the coconut as Josephine walks off and young Felicia splashes about in the shallow water. With their arms draped around each other's shoulders, Jacques walks through the jungle with his friend Enrique. As night draws in, Enrique and Jacques sit outside a simple shack. Felicia brings Jacques a drink before sitting on Enrique's lap. Enrique holds out a cigarette to Jacques, who smells but doesn't inhale it. Inside, Jacques sits at a piano and tunelessly plays the keys. Josephine enters the house and smiles as she hears the music. She places a hand on Jacques' shoulder and tenderly drags it across his back as she walks into another room. A contented smile crosses Jacques' face. Lifting his gaze, he eyes a framed photo of himself with a crotchety expression and a smiling Lucas. Closing his eyes for a moment, Jacques takes a deep inhale. The screen cuts to black. Credits appear, written and directed by Dagur Carey. Produced by Skúli Father Malmquist, Thor S. Sigurjonsson. Brian Cox, Paul Dano, Isild Lobesko. Director of Photography, Rasmus Vidibak DFF. Production Designer Halfdan Pettersson. Editor Andre Steen Gudmundsson. Sound Designer Kjartan Kjartansson, Ingvar Lundberg. Music by Slowblow, Music Supervisor Colby Train. Costume Designer Helga Roz V. Hannum. The mind was an old... Makeup Designer Asta Haft-Horstotter, Special Effects Makeup Artist, Stefan Jürgen Augustsson. Casting Kerry Barden, Paul Schnee. A Zigzag Filmworks Production. Executive Producer, Sigurjon Sivetson. Executive Producers Robin O'Hara, Scott McCauley. Co-producers Birgitta Skov, Bo Earhart, Dominique Barnio, Mark Bordier, Peter Naderman, in a collaboration with Patrick Sobelman. Line producers Lynn Johanna Stoder, James Price, New York, associate producer Sigrid Stroman. In association with Ex Nihilo, Forensic Films, Network Movie and ZDF/Arte, Nimbus Film, Nordisk Film Shortcut, Palomar Pictures, Wild Bunch. Supported by Canal Plus Danish Film Institute, Your Images, Nordic Film and TV Fund, the Icelandic Film Center, the Icelandic Ministry of Industry, Energy and Tourism. Cast in order of appearance. Lucas played by Paul Dano, Jacques by Brian Cox, Roger Vern Bilbule, Rococo Bothy, Nurse Nora, Susan Blomart, Nurse Mona Alice Olivia Clark, Nurse Wu Kim Songwon Brown, Psychiatrist Stephen Henderson, Nurse Billy Seth Sharp, Homeless Number 1 David Moss, Homeless Number 2 Dallas Smith, Nurse Sheila Michelle Nielsen, Chin Lee Henry Yua Louis, Jonathan Ed Wheeler, Dimitri Clark Middleton, Sarah Stephanie Shostak, Barbara Edmund Lundek, Ib Dolby Nicholas Bro.
They wash up on the shore. All the power.
Additional credits roll by.
Secrets are soon to be discovered. Like words, they make no sound. It's there, it's not gone.
The Good Heart was presented at Cinemart of the International Film Festival Rotterdam. Cinemart. Supported by Sundance/NHK International Filmmakers Award, organized by Sundance Institute and NHK.